Welcome to the Voices of the University podcast series, marking the 50th anniversary of the University of Warwick. Commissioned by the Institute of Advanced Study, the Voices of the University collection comprises of over 200 interviews with current and former staff, students and local residents, and reveals the history of the University of Warwick through their voices. In this final episode of our series, IAS Research Fellow Grace Huxford introduces extracts from the collection on Warwick in 2015, and what the future might hold for the university.
Since 1965, over 180,000 students have attended the University of Warwick. But as the Voices of the University project has shown, the university has also functioned as an employer, social space, research facility, and home. Many participants in the Voices of the University oral history project have also offered insights into university life today. Consider what the future might hold for Warwick, and reflect on its longer-term impact on their lives. Richard Cervantes, an undergraduate student and sabbatical officer between 1972 and 1976, reflects on what the longer-term impact of Warwick was on his subsequent career.
I mean, when I left Warwick, I thought, oh, I can do anything. I can do anything I want to. All I've got to do is work out what it is. I mean, once I found myself going into teaching, that some of the content of what I learnt, particularly in the sociology, I mean, I think the sociology was really bang up to date that I got. You know, it was a fairly new department. There were young lecturers, and some of the stuff that they taught me, I think it's only been surpassed, you know, or overtaken, if you like, in the last 10 years or so. You know, I think it's really stood the test of time. I mean, right from the very start of, you know, like Warwick accepting me, so to speak, I've just been grateful to Warwick for what the university has done for me, you know, and given me, without doubt, yeah.
Warwick has changed a lot in 50 years. Joan Cole, an undergraduate in the 1970s, and later founder of the Warwick Alumni Association, describes the changes to the physical site and the importance it holds in many students' memories.
I think the most astonishing thing is that it still remains a green site. There has been buildings ongoing for the whole of the time. I would be very surprised indeed if you could find a spell in the life of the university where there wasn't building going on. But it always seems to retain that charm of being a green site. You know, for a lot of universities, it's where kids go. It's their first taste of semi-independence. So it's a magic time in their lives, because although they can virtually please themselves what they do, they know there's somebody looking out for them. There's somebody keeping watch in some sort of way. So it's sort of semi-safe, isn't it? You know, so they are all going to look back and think, yes, my university was the best. You know, it was the greatest place. I had the best time. But I think Warwick has some extra something that a lot of other universities do not have.
Julian Gardner, Professor of History of Art between 1973 and 2006, reflects on Warwick's growth in the last 50 years.
I think it's become a grown-up university, with all that implies. It's still a young adult, but it's grown up. I think it has helped, of course, that the first 40-whatever years of Warwick has been an extraordinarily rapid upward trajectory. I think if the university had not flourished, as it has obviously flourished, one would feel that one might have wasted one's time. But I feel very much that one has contributed to an ongoing success story.
Ken Sloan, the university's current registrar, reflects on Warwick's position as a global university after 50 years.
I think we can look with confidence into the future despite the uncertainties. I think a number of really important tactical decisions have been taken to ensure that we're not overexposed to one particular type of funding environment, that a change in legislation in one area won't necessarily have a massive destabilizing impact on the whole thing. We benefit from having really interested academic leaders, not just at the top of the organization, but also at departments, who genuinely have an interest in the fact that the university needs to be successful. And often that means we have to take challenging decisions to do that. And importantly, we have got robust infrastructure services, a very strong financial footing, where there are challenges, where we face up to those challenges and do something about it. But at the heart of it, it's all to do with the quality and the recognition of the importance of the quality of teaching and research. And that could not be more visible than it is at the moment. So I think people should go into the 50th in 2015 and feel confident, and the 190,000 graduates who've been here before should feel confident that what they invested in when they came to Warwick is a good investment for the future.
This episode marks the end of our Voices of the University podcast series. We would like to thank all those who contributed to the project, and particularly those who lent their voices to these podcasts. For more information or to hear the interviews in full, please consult the Voices of the University website.